starting text. So we'll start with that. What's been on my heart to speak about today is when we need strength. When we need strength, who better to go to than the one who has all power? That's right. Brother Sam said he needs it every day. I agree with Brother Sam. We do. Every day. When we need strength. So, if we feel weak, what do we need? Well, if it's our body, maybe we need some food. Maybe we need better food. If we've been getting food, maybe, you know, the culture, what we have nowadays, there's so many empty calories in the things that people consume. Sometimes we need better food. Sometimes we need water, you know, food, drink. Sometimes we need rest. Sometimes it's not a matter there's times that we need rest. And rest can be bodily or it can be mentally. Stress, I'm hearing a lot nowadays that stress, we're learning more and more about the impact of stress upon our bodies. It's killing us. And there's so many types of insults on these bodies. There's things coming through these walls that we can't see, but they're taking an impact upon our body. So the world in which we live, not only do we have to deal with the world system, and not only do we have to deal with Satan and his insults, but there's other things that's against us. So we need rest. Physical rest, mental rest, emotional rest, but we need spiritual rest. And we need that every day. Every day. You know, meditation, there are some people that practice meditation, and some people would look upon them as being strange, the way they go about it. But you know, God's people need to spend some time in meditation each day. We need to be in prayer. We need to read the Word. We need to think about what we've read. We need to meditate upon the Scriptures. You know, you could take one verse of Scripture and just ask the Lord to help you to meditate upon it throughout the day. And it's amazing how the Lord can open up different applications and different shades of meaning for something that perhaps is a very familiar verse of Scripture, but He could show us new ways to how that applies to our life. It's been said that digestion is to the body as meditation is to the soul. You know, we talk about eating food, and if you can't digest that food, or if you don't digest that food, it's not going to do you any good. Well, what about the Word of God that we read and we hear, or however we are exposed to it each day? If we don't take time to let it sink down in our ears and find a lodging place in our heart, if it's, you know, like we talk about sometimes, in one ear and out the other. Or if it's one of those situations where the activities of the day or the world is pressing on us so that it's almost like the seed that's sown, but it's snatched away. If that's the case, how much good do we get from it? Our souls need the Word of God. Feeling of His presence. We need to think about His goodness and mercy. You know, that's, I've told you enough, you probably know by now, but when Moses asked the Lord, show me your glory, do you remember how the Lord responded? He said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before thee. I love to think about the goodness of God. That gives rest to my soul to think about the goodness of God. And if there's any goodness in us, he put it there. He gave it to us. Wow. I can rest in that, can't you? So, naturally, we need food. We need water. We need nourishment. We need rest and tranquility. And spiritually, we need all of that as well. And the more, the better. Okay? Now, contrast that with what Satan wants for you. What does Satan want to do? Does he want you to be well rested and well fed on the Word of God? Does he want you to be nourished up in the ways of righteousness? No, he wants you to be weak. So all these distractions that we have sometimes might just be coming from him, to hinder us from feeding on the Word and from being refreshed by the cool waters of the Spirit, good news from a far country. Satan wants us to be weak. You know, what kind of a witness to others can we be if we're always weak and spiritless? And so Satan wants to keep us weak. He loves to nip at our heels. He loves to irritate us. Because he didn't want you just weak. He wants to devour you. There's a big difference. I learned something this week. Aren't you glad? There's a lot I need to learn. I looked up that word devour. You know, sometimes you just think you know what it means. When Peter said, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom, see, he's looking for us, seeking whom he may devour. That word literally means to swallow up. Swallow us up. So, I want you to get the magnitude here between what we need when we're weak and what we have in the Lord and how we can be strong and able to stand. Because we're admonished to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he'll give us all we need to do that. He's promised. But the devil, on the other hand, wants us to be weak. He wants to wear us down. He comes at us at our lowest. When things are not going good. When we're not up on the mountaintop. Oh, he loves to come. You know, that's when Satan tempted Jesus. After he'd fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Try that sometime. You know, we think we're perishing if we miss one meal. Or if it's late. I jest, but you know what I'm talking about. All right? 40 days and 40 nights. You know, there's only three characters in the Bible that's recorded that did that. Moses, when he was on Mount Sinai. Elijah, after he had eaten and he went 40 days, the strength of that meal. Well, he ate and he ate again, then, didn't he? Then he went 40 days. And the Lord Jesus. Isn't it interesting? All three of those represent to us some form of the Word of God. The law, prophecy, and the Word that was made flesh dwelt among us. You also find all three of those on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm getting off my subject. When we're weak, where do we go for strength? Do we recognize we need strength? Do we recognize the peril of being weak? You can rest assured, when you're at your lowest, Satan's going to be right there. I see some nods. You've been there. You know that. So, we shouldn't think it strange if it happens again. Because that's the way he works. So, he wants to devour us. But God's given us all the help we need to be strong. And as Paul put it in Ephesians 6, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Mm-hmm. Yes. Not our might. That's mighty puny when it comes to me. But the power of his might. That's power. That's enabling power. That's what we need. Okay? That's what puts wind in our sails. And so, as I meditated upon this subject, I just thought about the Lord's given us all we need. Now, understand, we understand, unless you're born of the Spirit, you won't recognize these things. But what has God given us? First thing I want to say is he's given us his Son. What else do you need? God has given us the very best in his Son. Emmanuel, God with us. Not just a son, the Son of the living God. God so loved the world. What world was that? His people. For God so loved that world. For God so loved the world that he gave, didn't offer. You know, the vast majority of Christianity today puts that as an offer. We know that, don't we? But we know it's not an offer. It is a positive declaration of what God has done. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Only begotten. Never has been, never will be, but one begotten of the Father. The rest of us are adopted into the family. In him. Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, right? Not will believe, like so many would try to tell us, believeth in him, not on him. I tell you, sometimes when some folks get done with that verse, you wonder what they're reading. Now, I don't say that. I hope I don't sound boastful. I am thankful. If it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be saying the same thing. I'm so thankful. God's given us that understanding. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if it's everlasting life, you're not going to have it today and lose it tomorrow.
That's right.
Or it wouldn't be everlasting, would it? That's what he's given us, everlasting life. We're safe in him. Hallelujah. I feel stronger already, don't you? In him. In him, there's life. He that hath, you know, I like what I heard Elder Sonny Pyle say one time, gosh, I can't remember which verse it is. It's in John's epistles. But he says, you know, and he quotes a verse of scripture that is not anything bigger than a four-letter word in the whole verse. But how easy it is to understand. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, isn't that easy to understand? Obviously, it takes the Spirit of God and the revelation from him to know it. But I'm going to tell you, that's the word that God has given us. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And God has given him to us. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. I'm going to turn to it because I may not get it all. 1 John 4, 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Kind of sounds like John 3:16, doesn't it? In this, 1 John 4, 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I don't find the sinner doing anything there. What a blessing. By the way, that's grace. That's grace. And so then in verse 10, he says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Then he goes on telling us what we are to do. All right, but look what God has already done. For all that he has chosen in Christ, it is sure, it is secure, it is eternal. Whether they've ever heard the gospel or not. What a blessing. Whether they've ever had any opportunity to sin. God has chosen his people. We're safe, we're secure, we're eternal in him. That's the first thing I want to notice God's done for us, what he's given us, his Son. And if that's all we talked about tonight, you got enough to chew on for the rest of your life. How wonderful that God gave his only begotten Son. And go into 1 John, that we might live through him. Live. What a blessing. What a blessing. He's given us his Son. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's what God did. He sent his Son to save us from our sins. And we could take some time and go to Ephesians chapter 1 and just go verse after verse after verse after verse in all the treasures that we have in Christ. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. So he's given us his Son. Now, he could have done that and never told us about it. a matter of fact, a lot of God's people have lived and died from this earth and never known about it. Isn't it a blessing to live when we live? What a blessing to know what God has done for us. He could have done it without telling us, but he's given us his Spirit. According to Romans 8, that's whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Our Father. Now that's not something a man does by nature, is it? Right? 1 Corinthians 2:14. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You have to have the Spirit in order to understand it. As a matter of fact, you have to have a Spirit in order to receive it. You know, John chapter 8, Jesus talked about those that couldn't hear him. He said, because my word hath no place in you. If his word doesn't have a place in you, it doesn't matter what's said. You know, trying to preach the gospel, we try to find the best illustrations we can. And, of course, the Bible's the best that there is. But sometimes illustrating a point, we try to make the best illustration we can. And when we talk about being born of the Spirit, I like the idea of a radio, you know, that's without any power to it. It can't do its job. But you plug it in, tune it in, and it has the ability to receive these signals that are coming through the building right now. I like that. As far as being born of the Spirit, without that power of the Spirit in us, which gives us life, which gives us faith, we don't have the spiritual faculties to hear, receive, or understand the things of God. What a blessing that with the Spirit we are blessed to understand these things God has done for us. We're so privileged. We're so blessed that God has done these things for us. What a blessing. What a blessing. And so, with the Spirit, in the Spirit, we have the leading of the Spirit. We have the teaching of the Spirit. We have the convicting of the Spirit. And that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes,
it certainly is. We feel the presence of God. Don't you love to feel God's presence? And we have fellowship with God in the Spirit. What a blessing. The things God has given us. And so we need that so that we can be strengthened by this word. That we can be strengthened with fellowship, not only from God, but with one another. If we both have fellowship with God, we have fellowship one with another in the things of the Spirit. So what a blessing that we have. And so John chapter 14, Jesus is telling his apostles he's about to go away. Sorrow would fill their hearts. Well, you can understand that, can't you? Sometimes I just imagine being there during the ministry of the Lord Jesus and seeing those miracles.
Yeah.
Wow. Seeing that power. No man could do those things that he did. And that was the point, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To prove who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he said, if you believe not me, believe me for the work's sake. He literally did things no other man had done. But Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. And that word comfortless means as orphans. He wouldn't leave us as if we had no one to care for us. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he's talking about the Comforter, which several times in that chapter he makes mention of the Comforter. He makes mention of the Spirit of Truth. He makes mention of the Holy Ghost, all three being the same. And then later John would speak of, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that's also the same word in the original language. Comforter, advocate. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. And he says, I will come to you. So if we're blessed to feel his presence, it's the same. It's not a different comforter. It's another of the same kind. It's the Lord. It's the same as the Lord Jesus Christ. If he were here in his flesh body to comfort us. What a blessing we have that we have him with us, because he's blessed us with his Spirit. So we can rejoice. He's also given us prayer. He's given us the opportunity and the ability to speak to God. I know I've told you several times, but when we lived in St. Louis and we had a secretary in the office there, and she was Catholic and a good person. I'm just giving you her affiliation, and you'll see from her belief. And I was going through something one time, and she knew about it. I don't remember now what the problem was, but she knew about it. We talked a lot. And she said, I'll pray to the patron saint of something for you. Well, I appreciated her desire, her thoughts. But I told her, I rather feel like I've got a direct line. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, our advocate, our comforter. Oh, as we think about what we have, we can pray to God in Jesus' name. And if we're praying according to his will, he hears us. John said, this is the confidence we have. Whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. We can pray to the throne of God in Jesus' name. And we're nothing, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us. I like Robertson's word pictures on that verse in Romans 8 there, where he talks about the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. You know how it is. Sometimes when you try to pray, it doesn't seem like it gets above your head. That's not a good feeling, is it? Started to say that's not a good place to be, but I remember what Elder Ferris used to say. When you get to that shape, you're not in bad shape, you're in good shape. If you remember, if it makes you feel your need, if it makes you realize you've been leaving something off, and if it gets you closer to the Lord, then you're not in bad shape, you're in good shape. But sometimes when we try to pray, it doesn't seem like it gets above our head. And so that verse in Romans 8, where in Robertson's word pictures, he talks about that it's kind of like a high jumper that's trying to jump over the high bar, and he just can't quite get there, but the Holy Spirit comes along and lifts him over. And that's what the Lord does for our prayers. When the Spirit intercedes, it lifts them up to him. We can't do it, but he can. He can. He's well able to do it. And he knows what we need, even before we ask. What a blessing. What blessings we have from the Lord. Prayer. Prayer comes easy, doesn't it? Sometimes. When we're in the Spirit. Prayers to the soul. I've forgotten who said this, but I guess it doesn't matter if it's true. Prayers to the soul, like oxygen is to the body. We need it. And my thought about how easy it is, someone once said, if it's easy to do, it's easy not to do. How oftentimes we neglect to pray as we ought. James told us, right? You have not because you ask not. And we can ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own lusts. Would we do that? Have we done that? Word of God's true. Prayer. And you know my favorite George Washington quote. Sometimes we have to repent of even our prayers. But it's a tremendous thing that God has given us His Spirit and that He's given us the privilege of prayer, that we could speak to Him. And James would also tell us that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
Yeah.
And that means the sisters too. Availeth much. God's given us that privilege. May we take advantage of it. He's also given us the church. What a blessing the church is to us. What an encouragement. You know, I like the idea that when you're down, you need to go to the church so that you can be lifted up. You know, go to church. Attend the services. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And when you're on the mountaintop, go to church. There's somebody there that maybe they're down and they need you. We need each other. That's why we're admonished to pray for one another. Daily, we all have our challenges. We all have our struggles. We may not talk about them, but they're there. I promise you, they're there. Pray for one another. Pray, you know, Paul said to the Ephesian church, pray without ceasing. Sister Leslie, your Aunt Jessie, taught me a lot about praying without ceasing. I've shared this with you. I seem like I'm saying a lot of things. But pray without ceasing. That sister, I believe her husband had Parkinson's. He was a big man. She had total care of him. She was lifting him every day, taking care of him every day. As far as I know, every day. I don't know if it was folks. I never knew of anybody coming in. There might have been somebody that would help her out from time to time, but she had the care. And she told us in her living room one time, there are days that she would finish what she had to do for him and just fall down in the chair, exhausted. I must have preached on praying without ceasing that night. And after we were talking that night, and she said, I learned what it means to pray without ceasing. To realize I needed the help of the Lord to do what I had to do. Life teaches us those kind of lessons sometimes. But hopefully we learn that we need the Lord all the time. Sometimes more than others, but all the time. So as we think about, we need one another. God obviously knew what he was doing when he gave us the church. We even have it in types and shadows in the Old Testament when he gave them the tabernacle and had all the tribes encamp around it. The church needs to be the center of our life. It needs to be. It's not like it used to be with many, but it needs to be the center of our life. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Being a help to one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another, helping one another. We need it. We need it. And God's blessed us with the church. God's blessed us with that love one for another. May we grow in it. May we fulfill that role of being an encourager one to another, a helper. So we all look to the Lord. I like to think of God's people like spokes on a wheel. And Christ being the hub. And the closer we are to the hub, the closer we'll be to one another. If we're way out here, we're going to be farther away from one another. Let's get close to the Lord. Close to one another. We got a great blessing. God has given us the church. I'm thankful we still have the church here in this nation. You know, history shows us that it hasn't stayed in one locality more than a couple of hundred years, you know, loosely. We still have it here. But I see other places around the world where God's people are rejoicing in the truth. That doesn't mean we can't have it, still have it here. I'm just saying, it has moved. We need to be thanking God for it every day. Enjoying it. Rejoicing in what he's given us. Because he gave it to us to enjoy in this life. There's nothing we can do to enhance or lengthen the life after this life. All our efforts go into making the best of the life that we now have. Remember what Paul told Timothy? That bodily exercise profiteth little, meaning for a little while. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Again, you're not going to do anything to secure that life which is to come, but we could sure have a longing for it. The more we enjoy this life in the godliness that we have available to us now, the more we'll long for that life after this, of being with the Lord and all of his people. What a blessing. What blessings. And so, in all of this, this precious word teaches us those things. And the more we avail ourselves to this precious word. You know, I like to say this is how God speaks to us today. You know, this is the lips of God today. So when we read this word and having the Spirit can open this word to us and speak to us out of it. And I tell you, it's just precious whenever sometimes you just, there's a familiar passage of scripture and you read over it and all of a sudden the Lord shows you something you hadn't seen before. It's been there all along, but you just didn't see it, or maybe life has taught us some lessons that caused us to appreciate it or at least see it in a different light. This word is just like that. It's so deep. We'll never, ever draw all the good out of it this side of glory. And after this life, we'll have eternity to enjoy the precious truths and love and mercy and grace of God. Let's enjoy it now. The life that we now have. Let's enjoy it now. So, it strengthens us, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's what we need to feed our souls. The Spirit oftentimes refreshes our souls. Encouragement of the brethren strengthens us. What a blessing. What blessings we have. Psalm 119. Verse 28. Time's about gone, but I want to grab a few verses. 119. 28. David said, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." I know this is by the inspiration of the Spirit that David wrote these things, but those things were written for our learning. "Strengthen thou me according to thy word." I tell you, there's so much strength that we can derive from this precious word. Whether it's reminding us, whether it's teaching us, whether it's admonishing us. You know, like Paul said to Timothy, all scripture given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He hath created us in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so all scripture is a thorough furnisher to enable us, to help us, and to do that. What a blessing that we can be strengthened according to this word. Isaiah 40. Don't you love Isaiah 40? Isaiah 40, let's begin in verse 29. "He giveth power." Now, when we're weak, that's what we need, isn't it? "He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might," you know, there's times we just feel like we don't have any strength. We get discouraged. We get tired. Things happen. Things are beyond our control so oftentimes. It's not hard to feel your mortality, to feel your limits. All right, so he says, "To them that have no might, he increaseth strength." No question where we need to go when we need strength. To the one who has it all. And the one who loves us so much, he's pleased to give. You know, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder," right, "of them that diligently seek him." And the reward is to find him, to find what we need, right? So, "giveth to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary." You know, when you've got the vigor of youth and the stamina and you can just keep going and going and going. You know, kind of like the Energizer Bunny, seems like sometimes. Well, we don't always have that. All right? But he says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, there's one of those buts I like in the scripture. but they that wait upon the Lord. There's your key. Going to the Lord, asking the Lord, and waiting. Which that waiting now might mean that you keep serving while you're waiting, right? Okay. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what we have in the Lord. That's what we have in the Lord. That's what's available to us. In the Lord, from the Lord, by His mercy and by His grace. So as Paul would tell the brethren at Ephesus in chapter 6, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he proceeds to talk about the armor of God, doesn't he? I don't have time to get into that armor, but all of it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, righteousness, truth. Oh, what we have in Him. But He also has a shield of faith. A shield of faith. But He's given us faith. You know, you read the New Testament, and there's times when Jesus would say, "O ye of little faith." Now, He gave it to them. And He knew, you know, that time when they were in the ship and the ship was filling up with water and the storm was raging and the waves were boisterous and they were panicking. They said they were perishing. Master, careth thou not that we perish? Yeah. Well, they were panicking. But I'm not criticizing them because I'd have probably been doing the same. I might have been leading the complaints. But on one account of that, it says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Another account of that, it says, "Where is your faith?" Now, again, He gave it to them. He knew where it was. But what He's saying is, "Where is it? I don't see it." Are there times in life when somebody could come to us and say, "Where is your faith? I don't see it." We have to lay hold on things, don't we? We have to remember. We have to hold fast. Heaven is our home. But how much of it we enjoy now has a lot to do with how much we hold on and remain steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know your labor is not in vain, right? Isn't that the way 1 Corinthians 15 ends up? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, but it sure seems like it sometimes, doesn't it? Like the brother said one time, I think Elder Joe Holder, I heard him say it, I'm sure some others have, but sometimes it feels like we're trying to turn back the tide with a teaspoon. But your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we're trusting Him, if we're doing what we can, you know, that's all you can do. We're doing what we can. We're doing what we can. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now that strengthens me. That encourages me. That helps me to know if I'm trusting in the Lord, if I'm leaning and depending upon Him, and He'll help us. He'll help us. So that strengthens us. Galatians 5 and 6, Paul speaks about neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That word worketh means the energy of. So faith, the energy of faith is love. Now, God's love for us is perfect. It's unconditional. It's boundless. There's no way we can define it or measure it. But what about our love for Him? What about how we return that love to Him? What about how we keep His commandments? Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what does that say about our, how much love are we expressing and how we keep His commandments? And cherish that love. Show our appreciation or our thanksgiving for His love. The love that we're reflecting. You know, we've been given much. How much of it are we reflecting? How much of it are we showing to others? Because that love is what energizes faith. And so if there's a little expression of love, a little appreciation of love, maybe there's going to be a little manifestation of faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Jesus used that expression, didn't he? They weren't manifesting much faith. So, it's all connected. The first fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned is love. And I submit to you that all those other eight are an extension of that first one. You know, I like to say, you know, if you're not loving somebody very much, you're not going to be very long-suffering. It's an extension. We grow. Okay. So love strengthens us when we think about God's immeasurable love to us. It strengthens our ability to return, to reflect, to appreciate, and to thank God. Strengthens us. Paul admonished the brethren at Thessalonica that their love would abound yet more and more. Can we increase in the amount of love that we show? Yeah. And the best way to have more love is to give it away. In the giving it away, we grow in it. Yeah. That's God's economy. That's the way that works. So when we're told that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, that's a high bar. When you add that last one in there, with all thy strength, we give our strength to so many things. I think it's a matter of priority there, don't you? Seeking first, putting Him first. As a matter of fact, when we love God better, we can love our family better. When we put God first, we can love our family better. All right, one more thing. I know time's about gone, but and there's others, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Strengthening. We need it. Paul found a precious truth in the struggles and the infirmities and the problems that he faced trying to be faithful to God. Maybe I should say as he was faithful to God. Brother Paul did a good job of being faithful to God, didn't he? I'm not preaching Paul. I'm preaching the God that was merciful to Paul. All right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks about that experience of being caught up to the third heaven. Wow. Not too many people are blessed with that. But then he said, but lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. What did God do for him? He didn't put him on a pedestal, did he? He didn't give him a great long title. No, he gave him a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to buffet him. I've told you what I think that thorn, and I'm not real hard on that, but commentators have their ideas. What I've come to at this point in my life is that remembering what he had done to the saints of God, to me, seems like something that would be a thorn. To preach to some of those precious brethren rejoicing in the gospel and knowing that he'd given authority to some of their family to be stoned, be persecuted, he blasphemed, caused them to blaspheme. Maybe that's the thorn that God gave him in the flesh. He was forgiven of it, but you know the devil reminded him of it. Messenger of Satan to buffet him. Lest he should be exalted above measure. But what did Paul say after that? He asked the Lord three times to remove that thorn. And God said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength. You need strength? My strength is made perfect in weakness. If we think we're strong, we're not. When we know we need the Lord, then we can be strengthened. Then his strength is given to us and we're made strong. When we're weak. Is that what he says? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. What does Paul mean by that? Glory in infirmities? Well, I don't have any strength that I can glory in. I'm certainly not a role model for all saints in and of myself. But it's those struggles and those toils and those things, those infirmities, that make me remember, I need you, Lord. I need you so much. And Paul certainly had those struggles. He was stoned and beaten. And you know, when he was stoned and drug out of the city and left for dead, they thought he was dead. He probably had passed out. The Lord had mercy on him. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is what we need, the enabling of the Lord to be strong in the power of his might. For we have no might of our own. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Notice that's an important distinction there. When we're trying to serve the Lord, when we're trying to do what He would have us to do, and we suffer those things. Peter touched on that too, didn't he? First Peter chapter 2. He says, "For when I am weak, when I know it, when I'm reminded of it, when I know I can't do this myself, Lord, please help me. Then I'm strong." Then. So then, as Paul said in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ." Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I tell you, I've only scratched the surface. There's a whole lot more in this precious book that tells us about how to be strengthened. You go to Nehemiah chapter 8 and find out that it's the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. Oh, may God help us. When we're weak, to look to the Lord for what we stand in need of. To be strong in the power of His might, for we have no power of our own. But to recognize that when we're weak, then we're strong. Anything anybody would like to say? Right. We can, well, in a lot of ways, we are spoiled, aren't we? Now, the Lord's a good Father, and He knows what we need, and He does like what you're talking about, to help us to realize we need Him. Yeah. Many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Father's the husbandman. He takes care of the vine. Yeah. There's just no place to stop in this. Oh, may the Lord bless us to realize when we're weak, we got all the help we need. It doesn't always change our circumstances immediately, but it'll sure help us to get through them. Yeah, it changes us. That's right. That's right. That's where the change needs to happen in it. Yeah. Anything else?
I have a plaque that says prayer changes things. But so often when I go there and cross out things and put prayer changes me.
Yeah.
I think every time I look at it, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. And what's that saying? Offended or have a problem with somebody, pray for them. It may not change them, but it'll change you. That's the point there. That's right. I like what that brother from Oklahoma said. He's a good one, ain't he? And I don't mean that irreverently. I mean it very affectionately. He is a good one. The best. Someone have a number, song you'd like to close with?
500.
500? Okay. 500. If you'd like to stand, you may. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander and hear the bird sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, they bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Anything you'd like?